Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is me, and welcome to New Life Live. Joining me are two people that are also alive and well today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
I mean, I use the term guys as they
loosely.
Use it in California.
That's okay with me.
Yeah. That's what they talk about.
It's okay.
Out there. Well, happy Thanksgiving week to everybody. You know, Thanksgiving was declared Thanksgiving by President Lincoln, who was a fine man, a believer, and he just wanted everybody to stop. And how about we just take a little moment and have a little Thanksgiving going on here? And I was just talking to a gentleman who said, over the dinner table at our family, we will have, they've got a lot of kids, we'll have our atheists that don't want to even mention the holiday Thanksgiving. And then we've got my ordained minister's son. And you know what? I don't think we got it right at all about Thanksgiving. I get that, you know. But in our family, we're not doing something historical. We're just being thankful this Thanksgiving. And I wish that things had been different, what happened with Native Americans in the U.S. I really do. I just, there had to be a better way. Somehow, some way. And so I'm not celebrating mistreatment of people or believing any kind of fairy tale existence or anything like that. I don't even know what happened on Thanksgiving Day, if they ever had a Thanksgiving, whether it was a turkey, a rooster, whatever. But I know this. Mm-hmm. We are so thankful to be alive after COVID. We're so thankful that we have a God that even in the worst of times, is there for us, and a God that just kind of unfolds himself before us. If we'll hang in there with him, we'll go deeper, we'll understand more, and it will be, well, it'll be a great experience as we look back and see where we've come versus doing what we feel like doing and ending up bitter, resentful, empty, things like that. We're not doing that at our house. We're being thankful this year.
Well, it's a great day of gratitude, of practicing that,
yeah.
Right? And I think it brings good feelings to bring people around that you care about, whether they are family or they are friends that you create. I mean, there's all kinds of friendsgivings that happens mm-hmm. amongst the younger kids and things. And it's great. Yeah. It's celebrating relationship, right? Positive relationship.
Yes. And a lot of people are going through some really tough times thinking about this Christmas parade that where five people died and all these people injured, and you think, wow, what do they have to be thankful for? And oh, listen, just so sad for you. And what we can be thankful for is that we've got a God that's still in there pulling for us, and we never know what we've been protected from. We don't know what hasn't happened, but we do know it's a fallen world, and fallen people are doing some really, really ugly things. And we pray for all those folks. I tell you, even in the worst times, I could still find this one thing to be thankful for, that somehow I'm going to get through it with God. Somehow I'm going to get over it. And somehow, someday, this pain is going to be used to enrich the life of somebody else. It's going to draw me closer to God. I'm going to surrender to the God that I don't fully understand. And I'm going to stay with Him through the pain, out of the pain, and beyond the pain. That's what I'm thankful for. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Thanksgiving coming up. Reminding everybody, this is not the meal to be offensive. You know, we always have offensive issues to deal with, and so this isn't the time to step out there and convince everybody that they're inferior to your train of thought, right? This is the time to do the one thing that we're all called to do every day, love. So say something, better ask, is it loving? Not, yeah, I know this sounds really tough on everybody, but I'm really doing it because I love you. No, let's be loving in all things. But right now I'm going to the phones, 1-800-229-3000, and let's talk to, how about we talk to Christine from Long Beach, California. And Christine, well, she's listening on KKLA. Hi, Christine. Welcome to New Life Live. How are you doing today? What's going on?
Oh, fine. Thank you. Yes, I've listened to your show and enjoy it immensely. And I've actually called in one time a while back and found the advice very helpful. So I'm calling about a different thing, and It has to do with Thanksgiving. It's coming up, and trying to summarize as best as possible, but there's a couple of siblings of us have been vaccinated, but one sister of mine and her two daughters, she is refusing, two teenage daughters, she refused to get vaccinated for the COVID, and even though she got COVID too, but she doesn't believe in it, which is fine. I'm not pushing her to do it. And the problem is that some of the other family members aren't comfortable having her there. Partly is because my mom's 90 years old, and we kind of wanted to protect her. And also, my brother, his son, is 11, is too young to get vaccinated. So they're very, very cautious, and they know some people who've had COVID and ended up in ICU. So they just really trying to take all precautions. So I talked to my sister early in the month, and I explained to her that because of the, you know, the fears that my brother has, you know, we want to just, I'm trying to make a compromise, like maybe see if they're open to, maybe my sister and her two daughters, teenage daughters, get a COVID test. But, you know, when I talked to my brother about it, he and his wife are still not entirely comfortable about it. And so I told her, you know, we'll do Christmas. You can come to my mom's house. You know, my brother and family, they won't be there. Just take a COVID test, you know, a couple of days before just to make sure you know, you're protected. And, you know,
yeah,
protect
so Christine,
did you say she's already had COVID? Did
yeah,
you say
she's had COVID, and they're not comfortable with her taking a test?
Yeah, my brother.
Okay, I'm wondering why that is.
Well, and then the two teenage daughters did not get the COVID. They don't get vaccinated either. They're old enough to, but they don't want them to. So I think that they just didn't feel comfortable, my brother. So anyways, my sister is hurt, and then my brother-in-law just found out this few days ago. But I explained to him that I talked to my sister and explained the situation that, you know, out of concern for me, because I'm kind of trying to, I'm the older daughter trying to manage the peace, that my brother is not comfortable with them having the
Well, it also puts you in the position of choosing which family members to cater to.
Yeah.
Which is really unfair of your brother to put you in that position.
And are you the one hosting Thanksgiving?
Kind of like they look to me because I'm the oldest one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're having it at my mom's house. So it just brought up all these, and so part of me wonders, did I do something wrong? Did I, you know, should I reach out to my sister and said, you know, I feel bad? I mean, we were doing this by phone and then last few days by text, you know.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question.
And
I want to clarify. The person that is not vaccinated, is that the person that's already had COVID?
Yes. Yes, she got COVID. Uh-huh.
Now, my understanding is, and when it comes to these things, as we all know, I could be completely wrong, But my understanding is, I just heard someone talking about this yesterday, if you've had it, your immunity is stronger than if you get the vaccine and lasts longer. I have a lot of friends that have had the vaccine
that
they got it. They had the vaccine, but they got it anyway. Yeah. So it seems to me it's a...
But Christine...
There's better protection because she's had it than if she had had the vaccine, and that would be worth having her come and just, if you're sensitive about it, keeping maybe a little more distance or something.
Right, right. Like I'm going to have Thanksgiving set up outside, right? I've had in the past, family members got tested on Easter, you know, to make sure that they were okay to come. But I think another issue here, you're the oldest, so people look to you, but I kind of hear that brother dictates. You may be the oldest chronologically, but he kind of comes in and tells you what to tell everyone. Is that a dynamic in your family?
No, it's...
Okay.
The dynamic is more that I'm the peacemaker. So I was trying to be at peace, but because it's not just my brother, it's his wife too. So both of them felt very strongly about it.
But you feel comfortable having them be at peace than your younger sister. You feel maybe safer with your younger sister?
I think it just... I'm very, very close to my younger sister.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. You feel safer with her, so it's easier to tell her not to come than to say, well, brother, we're going to invite everyone, and if you're uncomfortable, I understand you making your own decision. Like, we're not going to exclude anyone because we're following the CDC guidelines, and these people have natural immunity, which is stronger than your vaccination.
But the two teenage daughters don't have the vaccine, so I think we were concerned
about that. Right. But they can get tested, and you can do, you know, like you can do distancing. We're in California. It's going to be hot on Thanksgiving. Have some things outside.
We celebrated at dinner time.
Okay, quick question. Brother and the younger sister. Before all of this, what is their relationship like? Not just brother, but his wife and him and the younger sister. Really close, travel together, go on vacation together, see each other once a year.
It's close. They're two families because the children are about the same age. They used to go out together and everything. So, but I know my sister is just 1 year younger, and then my brother is like 3 years, two years younger. But
I'd sure be talking to him about...
afraid of my sister-in-law. She's not comfortable with my sister-in-law.
Okay, that's what that's what I was talking about. What's that about, the sister-in-law?
I guess maybe she, maybe strong, she's direct. You know, whereas my sister is more kind of passive and indirect and kind of not
so
able
here's
to verbalize.
Yeah. Here's a great movie line for you, okay? There's your problem. There's your problem is this all playing out as part of a control or power or whatever it is between his wife and your little sister. And he needs... I am not suggesting that you go with the wishes and not invite the sister. In fact, I'm suggesting that you have a heart-to-heart talk with your brother and say, listen, this isn't worth it. This isn't good. This is another part of their little conflict thing. And this is an excuse for your sister-in-law to have a little more of your brother and him have a little less of his little sister that he's close to. I don't like this.
But I think that's going to be hard for you, Christine.
Yeah, I don't think it's that way, but I know that they're not able to talk, maybe, like, I guess, like the family has a hard time talking directly about hard things, you mm-hmm. know what I mean, like things that are painful to bring it up and just say, you know. So they kind of look to
so,
me, and I
But
and
do
I
you
try
have
to
a hard time?
Maybe.
Do you have a hard time talking about, because you keep calling yourself a peacemaker.
Yeah, I do try to bring it up as much as possible. You know, it's something that I'm working on, you know, to just let my sister know that I'm, you know, I'm concerned too. And I just wanted to make sure that my brother, because I didn't want my brother to be afraid and their son to be afraid to be there. And that's why I suggested would work out is just, you know, my brother will be Thanksgiving and then you guys can come for Christmas and they won't be there at all. And then that way there's a compromise so that they can celebrate with my mom. She's 90 years old. So,
Christine, you know. I want to praise mm-hmm. you. You work very hard to try to bring harmony into your family mm-hmm. when people are at discord with one another. And so I want to give you two further suggestions for mm-hmm. the sake of your own serenity and doing what's within mm-hmm. your power to do. Because I bet you get stretched into trying mm-hmm. to fix things that are not your fault and are out of your mm-hmm. control. You can't fix them. But you can mm-hmm. express both to your sister and your sister-in-law, oh, I feel unsettled about this because I sure wish we could all be together mm-hmm. at Thanksgiving and mm-hmm. working on this compromise. I've got this compromise idea for Christmas. Maybe we could all get started talking about it beforehand. And I know we're not all going to come to an agreement, but I miss mm-hmm. all of us being together, and I sure am sad it's this way. Putting a statement out like that releases, mm-hmm. surrenders what's out of your control, but expresses the sentiments of your heart. And it may do a little bit to bring some peace and even some inspiration to your sister and sister-in-law that you're the one willing to speak up. How would it be? Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I'm just saying there's no honor in peacekeeping, by the way.
Right.
There's honor in peacemaking. And sometimes you have to disturb the peace a little bit to make peace. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to talk about the reality that could be, might be, the unspoken for there to be lasting peace. Otherwise, when you keep the peace, the problem continues to fester.
Well, and nobody's really happy when you just keep the peace.
But I'm telling you, if somebody doesn't want to get COVID, there are other ways to ensure that that doesn't happen other than telling somebody don't come. Mm-hmm. You can be together and you can be across the room. You can figure it all out. COVID people over here, non-COVID people over here, mask, non-mask, whatever. But I hate for somebody to be told, don't come.
Yeah.
And I get it, especially if there's a grandmother or grandfather that's older and all of that. And Jill, I love the idea. You're going to be outside, even better.
Right.
If you can be outside. So I don't think we have the ultimate answer here for everybody's situation, but I do think just making it a black or white issue makes it much more difficult on a Thanksgiving holiday than if you try to compromise, try to come up with some creative way that nobody gets excluded. And then, having been vaccinated myself and gotten the booster, and happy I did, I am an encourager for those that are able and there's nothing else with it to be vaccinated. I'm also aware that when you get it, you have some immunity. So all of that put together, I'm able to offend almost every person listening, no matter what your stance is. And I'm sorry about that, but we really want families to be together if at all possible.
Well, and we have to look at people's level of fear, because with COVID, it has heightened a lot of people's sense of feeling out of control and feeling fearful. And no matter how much logic or reason you try to give, people are caught up in their fear,
yeah.
Right?
That's right. And I'm not suggesting that people drive up to the grandmother's house, everyone stays in their car, food's delivered to the car, window, that kind of thing. But there's got to be some way that everybody could be involved, but maybe not. And I would say this, if somebody's high risk and someone else isn't vaccinated, and they haven't had it, you know, you do need to be aware that we gotta help people stay safe. It's all in there. Now, go figure it out yourself. Thanks for calling us. Sorry we don't have the answer. We'll be back right after this, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We were talking at the break, and I think, Alice, you, Jill, didn't you guys have
I was just briefly continuing on my idea about fear, is that some people are fearful, and there's no way to convince them otherwise, and that's okay. So let them make decisions out of their fear versus the whole family organizing around one person's fear.
Well, that's pretty bright right there. Okay. Alice, you want to say something?
Well, I had chosen not to get vaccinated for a variety of reasons, and my decision was so upsetting to my family that there were folks I wasn't going to be able to see and visit with for a time because I wasn't going to get vaccinated. So I brought it to God, asked Him what I should do, and I got such a clear sense of an answer of, go get vaccinated. Put relationship above your preferences and your priorities with this. So I did. I'm glad I did, actually.
All right, there it is. A couple of perspectives there. Let's go. How about we jump right over here and we talk with Patty from Fayetteville, Georgia. Patty, you are on with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What's going on?
Okay. Well, I guess I just wanted an understanding or something, maybe a piece, I don't know. The listener before, I'm kind of in that situation, and I ended up getting the shot, and I'm very mad at myself for doing it because of the peace of the family. But my question is, how do I get over a son that's 28 years old and he's getting married next year, and he, I know, is never going to spend Thanksgiving or Christmas with my side of the family or my husband's side of the family.
And why won't he do
that?
Well, we haven't, between me and our son, for some reason, we don't seem to get along. And I mean, as far as getting along, it's as long as I sit there and just let him ridicule me or let him down talk me and my husband hear it and I say something about it and he just doesn't seem to grasp it, because my husband wants peace. He doesn't like confrontation, and I don't seem to, the daughter-in-law, the future daughter-in-law, seems to be manipulating our son into believing that it's just him and her circle, and they just live like across town from us.
Okay.
He lives with her.
All right, we get it that you and your son are not in a good place. Your husband does not ever say to him, you need to leave if you're going to be that way, or he just lets it happen, the conflict develop. I'm going to ask a question, and I'll turn it over to Alice and Jill. Why, if I was talking to your son, what do you think he would say is the thing that is at the core of you and him not getting along very well at this age? What's at the core of that?
I don't know.
No, that'd be a great place to start. That would be a place to start, you know, to try to figure that one thing out, right?
I've asked him, you know, what seems to be the problem?
What would your husband say is the problem? What would your husband say? Any idea?
He says, I don't know what's going on with you two. He says, but this has been going on for a long time, and y'all two need to straighten it out.
Okay, Alice, Jill, what are you thinking would be some way to make things better here?
Patty, I believe you that your son hurts you in conversation. I think you also hurt him in conversation, or you have historically, and I'm going to make a leap here. You started off with such a strong statement, and it may be true, but it's very black and white, and it's very extreme. My son is never going to spend Christmas or Thanksgiving with me ever. Not ever again. If that is a pattern for you of making such strong, everything's bad statements, it could be quite difficult to be in relationship with you. So I think you take real hurt, and I think you expand it and magnify it, and I think it's very hard to let go of all the ways you've been hurt. And it hasn't just been your son. It's been your husband who overlooks it, and it's probably been a line of people even before your husband. Tell me, what of what I have just said fits?
I don't know about the line of people, but my husband has hurt me, and I get very frustrated with him. And then our son just more or less will step on my toes and string me along as a puppet. Like, he is, we had a...
Patty, I'm going to interrupt you because we're coming to a break. The most important part of what I said that I need you to consider is the way you are hurtful in conversation and the extreme statements that you make out of your hurt. So I want you to think and pray about whether or not that's sometimes true about you, and then we'll come back and be able to help you more after the break.
You're listening to New Life Live. We're glad that you are. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. You know, this is a great time. You can still get in to the December 3rd Every Man's Battle Workshop. You do that in December, you're starting off a whole year of being a different human being. Different husband, different father, different brother. I mean, it really could be the beginning. You just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We will tell you about that workshop.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're on. And a few more words here. And hoping and praying, you know, we're dealing with tough situations, but hoping and praying this can be heard in the way that, you know, well, really hope that you'll hear it. And so, Patty, what do you guys want to say to Patty as we finish up with her?
Well, Patty, what'd you think about my tough question, which is a hurtful question. It's tough.
I think the question was, you asked, what is the core of it?
That was what Steve asked. And then I added, I think there's a way you are in conversation that can be hurtful and extreme, and it comes out of your hurt, but I think you have a reactivity that is difficult to be in relationship with. And might that be true about you sometimes?
Okay, as far as an activity, I have been told that when they say something, I seem to show a body language reaction through facial, through body, you know, mm-hmm. I seem to show. And then I say something and... You know, foot inserts, like, for instance, they the conversation, I'm trying to be real quick about this. The conversation was having to do with his fiance having to get up at 5:30 in the morning because she's now working, which she does not really want to work, but she's working because she wants to put all the money into the wedding.
And this wedding is her thing. And Patty, I think you're saying that sometimes you do say things that don't come out quite right, and they don't sit well with your listeners. Is that correct?
Well, I said that she said that she has to get up like at 5:30 in the morning or something, and I said, well, I get up at 6:30, and they all, including my husband, all three of them just went in a tizzy.
Yeah, well, see, that's very different. That's very different than if you had said, well, you know, to be a newlywed and you're doing this so that you can have the wedding you want, that must really be tough. See, that'd be a different way to respond to that.
Oh, yeah.
So I wish we had more time, but let me just ask.
Well, I'm thinking, Patty, it seems like even in our talking here today, it's hard for you to focus on you and really reflect and answer the questions. I'm thinking it would be a good idea for you and your husband to maybe get into some couples therapy and to really talk through what your reactions are, how he feels when he receives them, and how you feel when you receive his dismissiveness. I think starting there, because often the attitude of the dad trickles down to the son, and I'm hearing that there's a dismissiveness, and that cannot feel good at all.
Yeah.
God's entryway into conflict is always get humble first. Take a look at yourself. Start confessing your part in it. And defenses tend to lower when you do that, Patty.
Even if your part's smaller, we still have to look at our part.
Yes.
Yeah, there is probably no appropriate response of comparing miseries when someone has said something about something they're uncomfortable or miserable about. To say, kind of dismiss it with, yeah, I've got something even worse going on over here. It is a disconnection. And those disconnections, I wish I could say that, those disconnections can be healed and fixed with repair work. Starts, as Alice said, with humility. Speaking of humility, Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and not only is he humble, but he's really good at what he does. Larry, what do you have for us today?
Steve, I got two things, actually. I have a testimony from a guy that went to EMB several months back.
Every man's battle, you mean?
Every man's battle.
Oh,
Thank you. Thank
you.
Slipped into that.
People don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Hate that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He writes, I'm so grateful I came. I was tentative and a little fearful of the unknown. But experiencing a weekend of safety and no shame at a place to be vulnerable and be built up by other men who get it, this weekend empowered me. Built up my confidence and got me connected. I'm leaving feeling more ready with tools, but also with an understanding of myself, my reality of the situation I'm in, as well as ready to connect rather than isolate, now that I've seen it done for the first time. I'm grateful for meeting Jesus and other men in the battle.
Hmm.
So, guys, it's a week from Friday. You can be there, Dallas, Texas. It's a either a short drive or a short airplane ride, you can get there, and it'll make a difference in your life.
Well, if somebody were to ask, what's New Life all about, that was it, right there, what you read. That's what we get excited about.
And if you would be willing to support something like this, I want to read you something from a book that I just love. It's A Spirituality of Fundraising from Henry Nouwen. And he puts into words just what we think and how we want to raise money at New Life. He said, from the perspective of the gospel, fundraising is not a response to a crisis. Fundraising is first and foremost a form of ministry. It's a way of announcing our vision and inviting other people into our mission. Fundraising is precisely the opposite of begging. When we seek to raise funds, we're not saying, please, could you help us out, because lately it's been hard. Rather, we're declaring we have a vision that is amazing and exciting. We're inviting you to invest yourself through the resources God has given you, your energy, your prayers, and your money, in this work to which God has called us. Our invitation is clear and confident because we trust that our vision and mission are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and leaves that do not wither. And then the last little part is fundraising from the point of view of the gospel, says to people, I will take your money and invest it in this vision only if it's good for your spiritual journey, only if it's good for your spiritual health. You won't become poorer. You'll become richer by giving. You'll be enriched in every way for your great generosity, 2 Corinthians 9:11. So, folks, just want to invite you into that.
Yeah.
When people who have money share with the people that will use the money to further God's kingdom, great things happen, and you've made that happen, especially the last couple of years.
I was in India years ago, and I was in the slum of Kormangula, and I watched a woman who could barely walk on all fours. She had, as a child, her parents had broken her arms and legs so that when they begged, with her on their hip, people would give to their deformed daughter. She was probably about 50 years old, and it came time to give. They lived in the slum where open sewage was all around, and I was there with a psychiatrist doing communion and providing a service. And I watched her hobble in the dirt and the muck to put 2 rupees into an offering plate. And I said to Thomas, that is worshiping God with your tithes and offerings.
Wow.
She hardly had anything, lived in a cardboard box. When I saw that, that's when I said, you know, God doesn't need the money, but he honors those who give it.
Yeah.
And if you could have seen the eyes of that woman, you would have known what was inside. Mm-hmm. Peace, love, contentment, joy. I can't even describe it. So the mystery of giving, it is what can be done by God with that gift. But what's done inside of you will always exceed what will be done with that gift. If you never, ever worship God with tithes and offerings, you'll never know what that poor woman who literally in the midst of an open sewage slum, she had it all. She really had it all.
You said it so well, Steve. You said the mystery of giving. So many people do not understand that giving is a blessing. It's not unwrapping my clenched fist and giving some pennies to somebody. It's a heart that makes a whole difference in the lives of you, especially as the giver. You'll get something that you never got before. And I am so grateful that we're not where we used to be. You know, we have been in a position where I felt like I was begging because we were in tough times. I never want to go back there again. And I'm just grateful to every person who has given anything in terms of money, whether it's a scholarship gift, a one-time $5 gift, a $1 million gift, a Club New Life membership, whatever you give, it makes such a difference. And I just want to say thank you.
Me too. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-229-3000. The testimony from Every Man's Battle, that is coming up December the 3rd. What a mistake to miss an opportunity to transform not your life, but generations to come, because your influence on your children and their children's children and other folks who know you and care about you and witness a genuine miracle of transformation. What a sad thing to miss that. Why don't you pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we will welcome you into the New Life family, not as a little boy doing stuff he shouldn't be doing, but as a man of integrity and congruence.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh. I wanted to let you know about 2 special offers that are only available in the month of November. The first is a free download of 5 irrefutable truths that can transform your life. When you embrace these truths, you can expect that things will change. Just visit newlife.com and click on the banner to get your free download. Also, we have free shipping and special pricing on several products. We're making it easy for you to treat yourself or maybe take care of some holiday shopping. Visit newlife.com and click the banner for more details. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's talk with Carol. Hi, Carol. How are you today? KKLA is the station. What's going on in your life?
Hello.
Carol, hi. How can we help today?
Hi. I just have a quick question. I was married to a minister for almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had divorced him because I found out that he wasn't physically, sexually molesting an underage girl, but mentally, to me, that was still molestation because he was talking to her and he just kind of knew his prey. So he was, I guess it progressed, and then eventually he was showing her videos to watch, the pornography, and talking to her and taught her how to drink and all that stuff.
Did you turn him in for that?
See, that is why I'm calling, because I asked the girl if we can pursue it, and she said no, and that she wants her life left alone, and I have nothing unless I have someone who would testify. I know that.
Yeah, well, let me just say this before you go on. Before you go on, let me say this for our audience. If anyone knows of a situation like that, do not go to the child and ask them what they want. You call the authorities.
Not really a child, though.
You call the authorities immediately and tell them what's going on and let them deal with it. How old was this person?
The man?
No, the girl.
The girl.
I am not sure, but I think it started in early before junior high school.
Well,
high.
I just want to repeat. Did you say she's not a child when that happened? I mean, that's a child.
No, I mean, I didn't. Well, okay, good.
Your husband was sexually abusing.
He's not my husband anymore, please.
I know, but at the time, your husband was sexually abusing a girl. When you find out that a husband of 25 years ago, even, was sexually abusing someone, you have to call the authorities and let them deal with it. Otherwise, you have no proof that he's not still doing that again.
And Carol,
I'm just clarifying that for everybody else, that we don't want the victim to determine whether or not we report somebody that might still be out there harming children.
Carol, we can also really empathize with your impossible and horrific position you were put in. And we understand that you were trying to take care of the victim by not breaking that confidentiality with her. So that makes sense that was your choice. And I think you're right, Carol, to be concerned that if your husband, especially if he continues in a position of leadership and church leadership, the church needs to know so that he stopped and so that other young people are protected from him. What do you think about that?
Okay, so can I please say my actual question?
Yes, we'd like to hear
the fact
it.
So as soon as that happened, I called the church that actually gave him the license, and they revoked his license.
Good for you.
Well done.
Way to go.
I did all that.
Good for you.
I did all that. The problem I have now is that I found out he's pastoring again in a small town, and my problem is two things. I guess if nothing was filed, then the church not do a background check, because I tried to volunteer to prison ministry, and I was asked to do a background check. They had to do a background check, but to be a pastor, you don't get that. That's my question. And the second question, the actual question I have is that, what do I do? Do I call this church and tell them what happened? Or, because this church is small in a small town, and there are little old ladies in the church. And
Carol, the answer to your question is yes. No matter what the nature of the congregation is, yes, you have a truth that must be told.
But I'm wondering if it might, you might start, Carol, with calling Child Protective Services. You do not have to give the victim's name. But you can report that this happened and that you did not report it to authorities years ago, but now you see he's in a position where he could victimize again, and you want it to go on record. And ask them if you need to do any more than telling them.
Let me tell you why it's important to report things, even if you don't have somebody to say, yeah, that was me, or corroborated or anything. It is a dot. Mm-hmm. It becomes a dot. And the dot might be meaningless to someone because you don't have proof or things like that. But things like this create dot number two and then dot number three. But if you don't ever make that report, you see, you don't provide the first dot that can be connected with the second dot to mm-hmm. where somebody says there must be something here versus, oh, well, this is the first time anything like this has ever come up. It is really, really important that we not ever, ever protect anyone who is abusing, while at the same time, you don't have to involve somebody that was abused. You don't have to, if they don't want any part of it for whatever reason, they don't have to be. But I think we all have a responsibility to give the information that we have. It's pretty obvious that if this man had shot someone while he was a minister and fired, and you heard that once again he was a minister walking around with a loaded gun, you'd want to be sure they knew, hey, that's loaded and he's used it before. That's really clear. The damage that's done from abuse from a person of authority and a spiritual leader is so devastating. It's equivalent to being shot with a gun, and in some cases, worse, because gunshot wounds often heal. But these other things that go unsaid do not. So we just want to be sure we're not out there allowing someone else to be hurt. And here's the good news. Here's something to be thankful for. A person like him comes to the end of himself, surrenders to God, and God is right there on his side, wanting him mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to experience love, grace, mercy, and healing. That's the kind of God that we have. But it's so difficult sometimes to do the tough thing. But so often it's the tough thing that is the right thing. Well, I'm glad that you joined us today. We're going to do another program after this. And if you want to join us for that, it's 1-800-229-3000. Two amazing PhD female type people that do counseling and psychology, Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Jill Hubbard. They are phenomenal folks. Dr. Alice has got a book coming out, Understanding and Loving Your Child in a Screen-Saturated World. I don't know if you saw the most recent article, I believe it was in The Atlantic, of the devastation caused by Instagram on teen girls. It is really serious. It isn't to be overlooked. Call us if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Have a great Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you between now and then. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.